and welcome to the Football Book Club.
Excuse me.
What?
Why was there no fact file at the start of the episode?
What are we going to do? We're going to do a fact file for Father Christmas or something like that.
I could do a fact file for Father Christmas. Give me the fun music. Give me the blank, 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 okay. Blank, 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 blank.
Let's start the podcast again. Start the podcast again. Cue plonky, plonky music.
Father Christmas. Played 725 games for Lapland FC, North Pole United, and Doncaster Rovers. A bit of a naughty boy in the sack, because he has a sack, and great with reindeer. Assisted a lot of goals with his elves. But what did the book club think of the holiday that his friends put together for Football Book Club?
Wow.
I've drunk a bit.
What do we think, guys? What do we think? Wow. You almost killed Tash with it.
Yeah.
It's true. Tash sounds like she's dying.
All right. Well, thanks, Jack.
You.
Let's move on. Let's move on as quick as
great.
You can.
Thanks,
from that.
Jack.
We're here to celebrate Christmas. Welcome to Football Book Club, the only book club where, instead of literary classics, each week we read another footballer's autobiography. Less Dan Brown, more Coventry City's brown away kit of the 1970s. Oh my god.
That's my favourite one.
That is the best one.
Yeah, it's too meta.
It's definitely the best one.
Way too meta for me.
Nope, I like it.
Thank you to David Hartrick for that one, I guess.
Well done, David Hartrick.
Play with the format already. Okay. Well, you
break the format. Break it. Smash it to pieces, David. Thank you. I've had one beer. Smash the system.
I'm Jez Bog, and so far this series we've read classics such as Jamie Vardy's From Nowhere and Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's Jimmy. Boo.
Boo.
But today is a special day because it's the Football Book Club Christmas party.
Yay! Insert political joke.
Yeah.
Nice. This will be going out 2 weeks after this whole...
Oh, yeah. I assume the government's fallen.
By this point. We're recording this just as all that Christmas party stuff comes out. But anyway, let's not let it get in the way of our lovely party. Joining me for Christmas are, as always, Jack Bernhardt.
Hello, virtual Christmas party, can I just say?
Yep. It's very much virtual. James Balgin.
Yep, hello. Nice legal Christmas party we're having here.
And, of course, Natasha Frisco.
Hello, only cheese and wine here, thank you very much.
There we go, good. Swear to God, all these jokes are going to be fucking golden.
We record our episodes like 6 months in advance.
Imagine if we did that and we were making these really incredible references.
This is our Christmas 2022 episode, so this doesn't make any sense at all. Merry Christmas, one and all. What a magical time of year.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
You know, we didn't do a Christmas episode last year, but the year before, I got you all in the spirit by reading Graham Souness's book. Do you remember that, Jack and James?
I've tried to block it out.
Yes.
how do you guys celebrate your Christmas, usually?
Usually I read Graham Souness's...
That is how you do it anyway. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
Tash, wasn't really a big deal for me.
This is your first Christmas. We've done one.
It is.
Because last
year we were abiding by the rules and we did not have a Christmas party.
That's true. I feel like it's getting a very political episode already.
Don't do any Christmas podcasting last year. That's
yes,
what they said.
Exactly. And we abided by that. This year, however, I have dragged myself from my sick bed, as you may hear, and I am absolutely buzzing for this episode.
Nice.
For reasons that will become clear.
Yeah, well, and the reasons are... I'll give you the reasons right now, listeners. The reasons are, we read one book altogether last time. I've done something a little bit different this time. I'm generally dressed up as Father Christmas, which
that's
I realise could be something I could be lying about on the podcast, but we've got, as the kids say, we've got the receipts. I will take some photos of this.
I'll say, he's dressed up like Father Christmas in the sense that, like, you know how joggers dress up like Father Christmas.
Well, actually, this is from my girlfriend when she did a Father Christmas fun run.
Oh,
and it feels like the most flimsy, flammable outfit. if I go near a light, I'm going up. But this year, anyway, for the Christmas this year, I've got you all a present. An individual, different present, which I've kind of, you know, I've thought about which present fits the different person the most. And each of them, obviously, of course, is a weird and wonderful football-related book. They all come through, guys. Do you all get your book?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great. Well, today, you can tell us all about your presents as we have ourselves a lovely little Christmas party. Let's get unwrapping, shall we? Should we get unwrapping? Christmas usually ends the day. I don't know, for me anyway, my family, we kind of open the presents later in the day, but I feel like we should...
I can't get on board with this.
Yeah,
I only learned about this. Yeah, I only learned about this when I met my husband and I went to his house for Christmas. And what sort of nonsense is this? They ate before they opened their Christmas presents.
Yeah, definitely.
No, me and my sister are like feral animals. No, we get in from a night out at like 5:30 in the morning, 6 a.m. We're downstairs, still a bit merry, topping up on Baileys, ripping them to shreds. That's just how it goes.
I don't get this drinking thing. This is the only drink I'm having at Christmas, the one I'm drinking right now.
And it's a still water.
In my family, Christmas is as unenjoyable as it can possibly be. We wait for as long as we can not to open the presents.
My parents used to do that as a joke. They'd be like, let's go out for a walk. And I would go,
No, don't. But Daddy, I want to do my impressions of Chris Kamara on Soccer Saturday.
Oh, fuck, I forgot about that. I genuinely forgot to reveal that.
But it's Boxing Day, Daddy, the most magical time of year. I'm assuming you say Daddy. I don't know why I've added that
in. I do
in
say
there.
Daddy, yeah, I do
cool.
say Daddy.
Very nice, very nice. James, you have what's your Christmas like?
I think Tash's is too extreme, but yours is also too extreme. Mine is...
You're the Goldilocks option.
Yeah, sort of, you know, reasonable time, mid-morning presents.
That's fair.
Get to lunch later in the afternoon. Okay.
My mum, bear in mind, I am 30 years old and my sister is 20. My mum makes us the night before. This is before we go on the night out. We make reindeer food, which is oats mixed with glitter.
Oh.
And we have to spread it all over the driveway. And we have to put on our matching pajamas. And then we go to bed, and then she goes to bed, and she pretends that she doesn't know that we then go out. And then she comes down the stairs, puts all the presents out, and as we come in from the night out, Santa's been.
This sounds like a task from Garth Brooks' Hider in the House.
It really does, yeah.
It's like an unspoken thing, yeah.
Quick, the reindeer's coming!
Yeah,
clean
she's
up,
got
Bart
some bells that she sticks out the window so it sounds like they're on the roof.
Oh,
that's incredibly cute.
I don't want to no, but if anyone listening at home wants to feed a reindeer, don't give them glitter. That's one thing I will say. those deer will die from that.
That's true.
I'm
baffled by the idea of going out on Christmas Eve.
That's a thing. Yeah. I did it once. Didn't like it.
No.
Then you feel terrible all day the next day.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, it's the perfect day to be hungover because you lie there. My nan cooks loads of food and I just sit there and she brings me like Yorkshire puddings covered in gravy
Glitter.
Love Actually. It's amazing.
Glitter and gravy, Yorkshire puddings.
Yeah,
glitter
exactly.
And gravy.
Love it.
Well,
I honestly thought that the clubs would be closed on Christmas Eve.
No.
But that's because I'm a 32-year-old man trapped in the... Oh, sorry. I'm a 70-year-old man trapped in the body of a 33-year-old.
You had about four different ages there.
I know, yeah. Like, I'm going back in time constantly.
I'm a 52-year-old man trapped in the body of a 67-year-old man.
It's not that weird, yeah.
James. Let's kick off with you. I want you opening your presents first. So here is moment.
Can I ask what the logical inconsistency of this is?
Yeah, I was just going to say.
We're not unwrapping our presents.
We've received our presents. You've unwrapped your presents.
And then we've read them. We'd have to do it. We have to read them in seconds and then review it quickly.
That's absolutely true. It's just a fun, it's the people, let the people use their imagination. Don't patronize our audience.
When you say this week we're reading this. No, we read it previously and now we're reviewing it, okay? Word.
God, no, this guy.
Okay,
who invited this guy
Scrooge
to their Christmas
McDuck.
Party?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my word.
Scrooge McDuck. I had one drink.
Kick him out. Kick him out.
And also, I don't like how the quizzes work, okay?
That's it.
Mute.
You're not,
mute.
You're not getting Ken Zong later. You're not getting Ken Zong. That's your punishment for Christmas. Anyway, James, let's see what happened when you opened your Christmas present.
Well, James has sent me an early Christmas present. It's very book-shaped. Let's see what it is. Apparently, you sent Jack a nicely wrapped one in a gift bag. Mine's just a plastic grey bag. Oh, it's Alan Hansen's soccer quiz book. Brilliant. Featuring such answers as yes,
No. 42. And Ally McCoist. Well, I can't wait to dive into this.
Were you happy with that?
I have to say, I wasn't when I saw the front cover, but when I got stuck into it, love it. Absolutely love it.
Wow! Wow. There we go. What a successful present. I'm very pleased. Do you want to hear my reasoning behind it?
Yeah, go.
Well, you know, so I you know, when we did Alan Hansen, previously we read his book, Strangest Football Injuries. I know that how much that meant for you, James, to do a book on a Liverpool legend. And I'm fascinated by those old Christmas stocking fillers. So I looked into other books Hansen had written, and lo and behold, what do I find? His soccer quiz book 1993. And also, I found a Gary Lineker quiz book and a Bob Wilson quiz book, which looked remarkably similar.
Maybe in the same book. Is the graphic design on the
that's a good question.
Level, James?
To the strangest football injuries. Mm. Yeah, that's a good question.
Because the graphic design in that very book Christmassy. Was quite...
It is very Christmassy looking.
Bit of foil on the cover. No expense spared there.
Imagine a 3.5-year-old James Belgian waking up Christmas morning 1993 and opening that.
I was older than that.
16-year-old James Belgian.
I wonder if there's one question in that book that I'd get right.
Do you know what? It's a perfect Christmas present. It actually is. Like, you know, later in the day, everyone's had a few drinks. Let's
even
whip
out
the Alan Hansen quiz book. Yeah, even now.
Even now.
I mean,
okay.
It is slightly dated, but
give us an insight into the book. By the way, it's got zero reviews on Amazon. I feel like we should invent like a, you know, there's a Google whack Dave Gorman invented for when something gets one result on Amazon. I feel like on Google, sorry. I feel like we should do that for our books. If it's got no reviews, it passes the football book club test, but
and we're allowed to read it.
Yeah, no other bit. But I think Marcus Hanneman had no reviews as well. It's one of the few ones we've had like that. But anyway, James, tell us all about Alan Hansen's soccer quiz book 1993.
I mean, it is literally all quiz questions, like the whole thing.
There's no section where he talks about how he was tortured by Bob Paisley or whatever it was that was in the old
microwave
book.
Egg girl. Does she pop up?
No, she doesn't. He has a brief introduction, and then each section is comprised of 60 questions.
Okay.
And they're all different things like the World Cup, Cup Crazy, Football Italia, Scottish Football, etc. And there's 20 of them.
What's 20 sections?
What's 20 times 60?
20 times 60 is 1,200, isn't it?
12,000. No, yeah, well, that's not, sorry.
12,000
questions.
12,000 questions. 20 times 60. Yeah, of course.
You got it. I mean, as someone who bloody loves quizzes,
yes,
as evidenced by this podcast,
yeah,
I gotta have a question, mate.
James, finally, you can say what name we've got to shout out. You finally got the power to do that.
Oh, I haven't done that much prep. I mean, lots of questions. He starts off so a lot of the questions are quite straight, but then you get a bit further on into the book and there's a section called Laws of the Game, which is very interesting. Let me just fire a question at random.
This sounds like a driving theory test, this bit, when you've got to memorize all the rules of the road.
Okay. So each section is, there's a slight introduction at the beginning, so I don't know if you can see that.
Very old looking referee.
Read us what this...
says... The biggest recent change in the laws of the game is the backpass law, and it's one I don't entirely agree with. I think it penalises good defending. While I can see how it adds to the excitement, the rule makes defenders edgy and discourages good build-up play. That's his introduction.
What? And I is Alan Hansen, I'm assuming, in that?
Yeah.
Oh.
He does write it with a random referee.
He writes it with a guy called William something.
Shakespeare?
Who he name checks.
This was actually William Shakespeare's first big break.
William Walker, who he name checks in the preface and says, let's talk about the preface, actually, the introduction.
Okay. I can see Jack is bursting to answer a question.
I'll get some questions.
Okay.
This makes me laugh. He says, quizzes are great fun. We often play them in the team bus when we travel into away matches. I used to do fairly well and also gained a bit of a reputation for remembering matches that we played ourselves. In actual fact, some of the lads called me the Memory Man.
That sounds like a Batman villain.
But like, I don't think it's that difficult to remember cups that they won. Like,
no.
Alan, when did we win the 1986 Cup Final? 1986. Yep. The memory man. That's you.
I feel like it's an indictment of the rest of them's, like,
yeah, they must be so dim.
Concussion from like having too many headers.
That's worrying.
So he says, wow. I've been in some knowledgeable company with William Walker, who's a real football quiz expert, and we've put together some 1,200 questions on all aspects of the game.
Wow. Yeah,
that's his introduction.
Wow.
William Walker sounds unbearable.
Were there any insights into his life at all, anywhere else?
Zero. I mean, apart from his introductions to each section, where he sort of gives an opinion. Yeah. And by the way,
I'm furious. I'm on tension.
This made me laugh. His first section is the Premier League, I was like, there's a lot of 1992, 1993 questions here because there'd only been one season in the Premier League at this point, so everything happened in the 1992, 1993 season.
Every answer is Brian Dean.
Yeah, I was thinking of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Let's give you a question. Let's stop messing about.
Here we go.
Here we go.
From Laws of the Game.
Oh, is it one of those ones you got flicked to the back?
Flicked to the back. Yeah.
Oh God, I remember those. Oh
God. This does seem like a really good Christmas present in the sense that you ask the question like at the start of the meal, and then like 3 hours later during the Queen's speech, you go, by the way, yeah, it was the offside rule. Yeah, cool. Great. Thanks.
Right. Here we go.
Yes.
We'll start off a bit tame. Mm-hmm. Can a goalkeeper swap places with a teammate during a match?
No.
Yeah? Wait, hang on. Wait, define that. Are we saying that a goalkeeper gets sent off?
Oh, doesn't
Christmas must
anything.
Be insufferable with Jet Burnham.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
I can tell.
Wait a second. Define that.
I don't think you can. No, I don't think you can.
No, I
just say no.
It's a really boring answer.
Well, it's either yes or no.
Yes, providing the referee is informed and that players stopped.
Wow. There we go.
Stop the play. Don't just switch.
I'm learning something.
But as it goes on, so a lot of them are just like that sort of rules and whatever. You know, what is a punishment for dangerous play? You know, could a goal be scored from a wind assisted goal kick? That is a genuine question.
Yes.
Well, because what are they going to say? Oh, the wind hit it. You know, that's mad.
Yeah. But then he starts coming up with some mad hypotheticals. Such as
this is a lot more like a driving theory test than I did expect.
Yeah, it really is.
Really is this one. While waiting for a corner kick to be taken, a defender punches an attacker in the penalty box. What action should the referee take?
Oh, I actually think I know this. No, it's not. It's an indirect free kick. Send the defender off, and it's an indirect free kick, I think.
Is it indirect free kick? I thought indirect free kicks were only really given for obstruction and things like that.
No, so this is off the... I think it's off the ball. I think I remember this happened, actually, in the 98-99 season when I was really into football and was obsessed with it. And I was like, why isn't that a penalty? And
Daddy, why isn't it a penalty?
Daddy!
we're going straight to Bramall Lane, Daddy!
Yeah.
And what did they do? Give an indirect free kick?
They gave an indirect free kick. What do they do here?
So the rule must have changed at that point.
Ooh.
Okay.
Because here... it is send the offending player off and restart play with a corner kick.
The corner.
Ah, okay.
Interesting. I thought you would get. Yeah, that probably makes sense. I guess.
No wonder they're all hitting each other in the face back then. It was just a corner.
Yeah. Fine. You get another corner. Yeah.
Wow.
God, I'm doing really badly on this quiz.
Yeah. It's
right. Here's another really good one.
Okay.
At a penalty kick. That's a weird. At a penalty kick, the ball is stopped from entering the goal by a spectator. Should the referee award a goal or a drop ball?
What the hell? No, neither. Retake the penalty.
The referee doesn't even know what to do in that situation, surely.
Retake the penalty, surely. Don't do a drop ball.
Yeah, surely retake.
Obviously you'd retake. You'd retake and you'd punch, you'd get the defender who was sent off for punching the striker to punch that guy. Although actually, this is the weird thing. I watched an episode of, I think it was called like ITV's The Football. There was a rerun on ITV4. Mm. And I that sounds ridiculous that a spectator would do that. In old matches, spectators were right up to the edge of the thing.
Oh,
and, like,
was this when they showed the old games from like the 70s?
Yeah,
and they,
there were
like,
a couple
the day
where couple of the couple of the fans like literally kick the ball because they're like, there you go. I'm just here. Have that. Mad.
James, what's the answer? We need to
know. Oh, they just retake it. It's really boring. It was a trick question, really.
I want some... James, prepare some more questions for later. Chuck some in some other random ones from 92-93 Premier League season. And
I just want to think about for a while.
Yeah, of course.
May a team play in a match wearing tracksuit trousers? Just think about it.
Surely, yeah. I mean, Gabor Karai did that. Gabor Karai did it, didn't he?
I'll reveal the answer later.
Maybe say on the keeper. You'll give the answer later. Okay, well, get ready for that, guys, because I'm pretty excited. I know Jack is...
If there was a reason you were going to turn off the podcast...
to make sure you stay.
Yeah.
Let's move on to present number two. So I'm going to move to our dear friend, the very ill Natasha Frisco.
Hello.
Merry Christmas. Hello.
Thank you very much.
Oh, no problem at all. No problem at all. You see, she was grateful. You guys have no one else said thank you to me.
I was so grateful.
Sorry. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Well, here's the moment.
Thank you for not making me read Graham Souness again.
Okay, there we go. Let's go back to the moment when Tash received hers in the post.
James has sent us all a book. None of us know what these books are, but I'm about to pick it out from under my tree. I'm a little bit nervous. okay. It's massive. Wow. I mean, James, well done. Well done for tracking this down by my queen, the one and only KB, Karen Brady. Oh, it's a novel. Oh, excellent. I should be reading this from my sickbed this week. Thank you very much, James. Jackie Collins with football boots on. Sold.
Tash, what did you get? What did you get? Remind us again.
I got possibly the most perfect present for me. I was absolutely thrilled. And I'm not going to lie, James, when it came through the post, I could feel it and it felt like War and Peace. So I was like, what is this? Man,
Merry
sent
Christmas.
Me in the bloody post. But I opened it and it was Karen Brady's novel, United.
Yeah, I know you well, Tash. I know you well. Yeah. I know you very well.
And it's not an autobiography. I didn't have to listen to some man write 400 pages about that time that he scored on a wet Wednesday in Sheffield.
You're on the wrong podcast, Tash, for that. If that makes you
angry. It was so good. I haven't actually quite finished it, but I'm about 2/3 of the way through. Because as I mentioned, it's actually 502 pages long.
It genuinely looks so long.
Yeah, it is a big book. I was a bit worried when I bought it that it was two book, but too big. Sorry, I remember.
I thought it was two.
I might be. I remember Tash though. I remembered how much you loved the Karen Brady book we read last series. Was it?
Yes.
We read. I can't remember what it was called. Brady Plays the Blues.
Yes.
Brady, that was it.
I loved
about
that.
Her time at Birmingham City. Yeah, and I found she wrote a few books like this.
Yeah, and I thought the way that she wrote was really good. I think we all kind of agreed that she was actually quite a good writer. And she did actually write this book. I did a bit of, you know, there was no ghostwriter. She did actually write it. And from the cover, it's a bit like sexy Jilly Cooper-esque. You know, there's some plumped up red lips blowing a whistle, obviously. But the story is actually quite good. It's okay.
Get me hot under my Santa collar.
Yeah. It's a bit raunchy. It's like Jackie Collins vibes, you know? Collins meets footballers' wives.
Can I lend this to my mum afterwards? I think it's the kind of book that she'd like to read. It's the kind of thing she got stacked up at home.
Yes, you can, but you're not having this copy. You can get it.
Jack Tash, will the pages be stuck together, Tash?
Hey, lads.
Christmas. The ultimate callback.
Yes.
How do you like it, Tash?
I mean, they might be, but judging by the fluids that have been coming out of my face this week, it won't be from That's anything true. Sexy.
Don't worry, James's mum. It's
cut
not
that,
sexy.
Cut that. Cut and all
just
that.
Not.
Tash, you've ruined one of the quiz questions for later. What? What fluids are coming out of Tash's face this week?
But it's really good, actually. So I'll give you a quick rundown of the plot and where I am so far. There is a lady called Sarah, who's one of those, you know, when you watch a sort of Hollywood film and they have an indeterminable, high-powered job and they wear lots of pencil skirts and have a corner office that looks over Manhattan, but you don't really know what they do.
Yep.
She's one of those ladies, and she has a friend who is a politician who owns a football club. And they mysteriously die. And she gets left the football club in the inheritance. So she goes to this football club and it's ran by lots of men who don't like that this sexy lady's come in. I mean, it's kind of Ted Lasso-y, if you've been watching Ted Lasso.
Also, it sounds extremely autobiographical. It sounds I wonder where she got this.
Yeah. With like a murder mystery in the middle of it.
And she uncovers that there's this web of corruption where all of the men who are working at the football club are siphoning off money, and that's why the club's not succeeding. And they try and sell it to the papers that the club's not succeeding because there's a woman in charge. But she's like, no, you're taking all the money, so we can't buy any good players. And she outs it all. And that's the stage. It's really good.
That's really cool.
It's got a very like locker room romp fest. Everyone's sexy in it. It's really good. It's great.
When was it written, out of interest?
1996.
Okay, so that was when she was still at Birmingham, I'm guessing.
Yeah, she was still at Birmingham.
Wow. At one point, okay. it's one of the scandals that they accidentally give away like some of the advertising hoarding to a vacuum cleaning company only get a vacuum cleaner in return.
There's still time. But it's really good. And
how much shagging are we talking in this book?
Not loads of shagging. Not so much that it takes away from the plot. That like, you know.
There's quite a lot.
Yeah.
Is there a Paul Pesky Salido character, her husband?
Oh yeah. And he's hot. He's like got some random Greek name. And I'm like, I know what you've done here. You're not smart.
That's him.
But she also has a bit of a thing for one of the older executives. And I was like, I wonder who that one was.
Watch out, David Gold / David Sullivan.
Jeepers.
Wow, yeah. That sounds great.
It's really good, and it's total trash fest, which is exactly what I've needed while I've been lying on the sofa all week. So thank you very much, Santa Bug.
Hey, that's what I'm here for. I'll be full disclosure, I won't lie, the reason I bought this book, it wasn't my first book in mind. However, I'm quite glad I bought it for you in the end. I didn't want to buy it for you because I knew it was the longest book ever written.
Yeah.
Originally I tried to buy you a book that I only recently discovered existed, Lorenzo Amoruso's Italian Cookbook.
Yes.
Oh,
I know.
Every recipe has Bailey's in it.
I would love that so much. If anyone knows where I can get a copy of that, then...
I think we can. I think we can still get a copy, but not last minute. And my one was cancelled, very sadly. So that's why I grabbed this one in. We'll do... If you want us to read Lorenzo Amoruso's cookbook later in the series, we'll do that. That's fine.
Do you remember a few months ago when I was talking about Claire from Steps making the carbonara?
Well, that's true, yeah.
It could be a bit like that, I reckon. We could, you know... I'd give some of his recipes a go.
Ali McCoy's teaching you how to do circus tricks. that'd be great. Well, I'm glad I made your Christmas.
Yes, you did.
Oh, yes. That's the first time ever someone on the show has thanked me for getting them the book. everyone's been so happy about the book we read. What a happy experience.
I mean, I'll just tell you how the Daily Express describe it on the back of the cover.
Please.
Sexy, bouncy doorstop. And that's exactly how I'd describe it.
What? Doorstop?
Sexy, bouncy doorstop. Because it's that so bloody big.
Wow. That's an insult. But
are they expecting you'd read it on the floor? I just feel like I just put it... Get out of the way, Mum. I'm reading Karen Brady's book.
It sounds like the lyrics to that Savage song. I'm a savage. Sexy, bouncy, sexy doorstop.
Karen
Brady,
yes.
Yeah. time for a break, but when we return, Jack will be opening his present and we'll be having Christmas dinner with Neil Redfern. Hi. We're Football Book Club Podcast, and we need your support. Now, let's drop the appeal music. Hi, everyone. James here, and I just want to tell you about the brand new Football Book Club, which you can join to receive bonus weekly episodes, access to exclusive member events, and your very own Football Book Club bookmark, all for the same price as a used copy of Darren Huckabee's 2007 book, Hux. So if you enjoy the podcast and need to hear more afterwards, head to patreon.com/footballbookclub. Enjoy the episode. Welcome back to Football Book Club's Christmas party. Hey! Tash was just having a coughing fit, as I said.
Sorry.
That,
as all good parties should have.
Yeah.
Um, The club are opening my Christmas presents to them. We have been a lovely time so far. Tash was very happy with her gift of Karen Brady's. What was the book called again?
United, obviously.
United.
It should have been called something else. Just something sexier than that.
No, because it's beating the boys at their own game is the tagline.
That sounds like a good title.
That's
beating
a good
the
idea.
Boys at their own game.
Beating the boys at their own game. Yeah, definitely.
Just beating the boys. That'd be a good name. And James has been equally delighted with his copy of Alan Hansen's soccer book, sexy soccer book.
1993. Yeah.
Any more questions for us, James?
Yeah, of course. I've got loads. Oh, there's one thing I didn't tell you about, by the way. His rating system at the end of each section. So,
rating
for example,
us, the quizzer.
Yeah, yeah.
If you
so
get like,
you
okay,
can score how many? Yeah. So, taking one for example, super stoppers is a section, so it's all about defending.
Okay.
So when you get to the end of the questions, it says how you fared. If you got 46-60 or solid as a rock,
nice.
31-45 sound defense, 16-30 a bit wobbly at the back, none to 15 leaking like a sieve, and each section has
another good name for Karen Brady's system. Book. Leaking like a sieve.
Oh, it's well, gone blue.
It's gone blue. It's gone blue. It's Christmas. Oh, it sounds good, James. Well, tell us the answer to that question. People, don't keep us all waiting.
What, the tracksuit bottom one.
Yeah, tracksuit bottom one.
I think it's yes.
You think
if the referee. I remember it. Yes, if the referee deems it suitable in cold weather.
Okay.
Basically, the answer a lot of the time is ask the ref.
If the ref, it's up to him.
He goes around feeling your knees and he goes, yeah, it's acceptable. Acceptable in that weather. Cool.
All right, quick one before we move on.
It's a bit nippy, isn't it? Have a tracksuit bottom.
Is it? It's not another rules of the game question, is it? Let's move on to the
section.
No. Okay.
Wait, why? You sound like you didn't enjoy those questions. James.
I did. I loved it. I loved them, James. I loved them.
Now you know how it feels, James, when we have to listen to your quiz questions every week.
I give you funny
names.
I don't
like the quiz questions. Interesting. Which Baltic country does the team Norma Tallinn hail from?
Estonia.
Oh, Estonia, yeah.
Surely.
It's easy.
That was easy. Easy.
Unbelievable.
There we go. That's a geography question.
Oh, you just wait until we get to Scottish football later on. You just wait.
All right. Well, just before Jack opens his present, obviously a big part of Christmas is the Christmas dinner. Am I right?
What do you want the response to be?
Am I right? Christmas
right?
dinner, huh?
Hey, let me tell you guys. You ever eaten a Christmas dinner? You guys? What's the deal with them Christmas dinners?
I'm talking potatoes, carrots.
I'm talking Brussels sprouts.
But no, I haven't made you a roast, guys. Don't get too excited. But I know one footballer who would. So in place of our meal, here's a little Christmassy clip from last series when Ivo Graham came on and read Neil Redfern's book with us.
Mm-mm.
I think it's time for this week's dramatic reading. Can somebody cue the dramatic music, please?
Cue dramatic
Ivo, if you
music.
Want to. Oh, okay, don't let Ivo do it. Thanks, Tash. Come on, we got to pick up the pace. This dramatic reading is called Neil Redfern Celebrates Christmas Slightly Early. Okay.
I like this anecdote. If this is the defrosted turkeys anecdote, I'm up for it.
It might be.
You don't know. There might be another story.
Let's wait and see. Every year, for instance, we received a frozen turkey at Christmas. Although one festive season, when finances were tight, we had to settle for a capon. We said that if we were down to a chicken the following year, we'd call in the PFA.
I really like that joke, but I also think he's not kidding.
Yeah, I think he does get quite angry with things sometimes.
Sue would definitely have budgeted for turkeys, I reckon.
No, they would have. You'd get all your petty cash, go down to the turkey farm.
Barnsley's loss was W.H. Smith's game. The turkeys were usually delivered late morning, a week or 10 days before Christmas, and left in the supporters' club bar, which is always cool. I think he means cool as in cold, because it was only used on match days and the radiator turned off for the rest of the time. Yes, he does mean cold.
Oh, but also the vibe was pretty
The vibe was pretty sweet in Barnsley.
It was a pretty sweet vibe in the Barnsley club bar.
The players would just be finishing training when the birds arrived, and he doesn't mean that in a footballer sense, and after a pot of tea and a shower together, we'd go along to the bar to collect our Christmas dinner. One year, things didn't go according to plan. Here we go. The birds were delivered first thing in the morning, way ahead of schedule, and before most of the players had arrived. And it was a particularly cold day. Anyone who's spent some time at Oakwell on a cold winter's day, nope, will know how will know how inhospitable that can be. The central heating under the stand was on. We can skip this bit, I think.
No, what? No, what's the point?
It's just about central heating. Oh yeah, you're right.
That's the key.
You're right. I am skipping too far. The central heating.
God, imagine if we just skip to the end now.
Long story short, the central heating under the stand was on full bore, and as luck would have it, Nona remembered to turn off the radiator in the supporters bar. You see where this is going. It was like a furnace in there, and the frozen birds didn't stand a chance. Here we go. The mood changed when they returned to the dressing room empty-handed. Where's your turkeys then?
I love the idea of the mood changing as if there's been like a death in the family. Like, lads, where's your turkeys? There'll be no turkeys this year. What? It's really like it's a real moment of drama.
It's very Dickensian, isn't it?
It is very true.
Sorry, now I've got an image of Neil Redfern sticking his head out the window.
Christmas goose.
Get me the one that's as big as John
Christmas
Sheridan.
Goose for no one. The mood changed when they returned to the dressing room empty-handed. Where's your turkeys then? I don't know who's asking that question. There's no one who's giving an indication who's asking that. That is a very odd question in isolation. Running around in the bloody bar. They've thawed out, I'm assuming, Neil says. The news was greeted with a stunned silence. None of us were Gordon Ramsay, exactly, although I'll write back.
Gordon Ramsay would know what to do with a thawed turkey.
Yeah.
Do they call him up? Like, Gordon, hi.
Quick question. You know the Barnsley central heating? Well, it's usually like that.
Usually a pretty cool bar.
Yeah. But we knew enough about the risk of salmonella poisoning to know the refrozen turkeys can be bad news for the family at Christmas. With over a week to go before the big day, the birds currently warming up nicely in the bar were going to well past their best by the time Christmas morning came round. We had no choice. We took them home, had an early Christmas dinner, and made hurried plans to find a replacement the next day.
Oh.
What a dramatic reading.
Very dramatic.
Well, that is a dramatic reading because he doesn't tell us. He says we made hurried plans to, you know, to find a bird for the future, but he doesn't tell us if he did.
Yeah, that could easily. I think that's what the story needed to go on for another three pages.
I would like to know that. What did Neil Redfern have on? What did he eat on Christmas Day, 1998? What did he eat?
That was one of our rare references to Christmas. In an episode. We don't really have many of them.
Hasn't been a complaint of the show, I'd say.
No,
we have like
that's
a lot of reviews.
Not
enough Christmas.
All those talking fancy about... dress parties are always
there
for
we
Christmas.
Go. Yeah, we've got a whole Christmas tree narrative that's been going on forever.
Oh, of course.
Well, of course, this is the year we lost Glenn Roeder. And usually we would check in with our Christmas tree salesman in Billericay. But yeah, R.I.P. Glenn. But yeah, fancy dress is something which does pop up a lot. We've had some bad outfits. We have Wes Morgan's terrible video game related party.
I see fancy dress as being for all year round.
Yeah, okay? It could be to celebrate anything.
Exactly. I'd say if you're not doing a party fancy dress, then...
It's not a party.
It's not a party.
In Jack's opinion.
Is that what they said at number 10
as well?
That exactly what I was yeah, there
we
go.
Oh my word.
That political reference that will definitely still be relevant in 2 weeks' time.
I need to say, what day is it? It's currently the 8th of December. And these are admittedly... political zingers at the moment, but
yeah, basically, have I got news for you in here today?
That's true.
James, I was expecting some biting political satire of you at the beginning of this, and you
from
opted
me?
For a Father Christmas fact file off Jack instead, which I think I enjoyed.
I mean, even Anton Deck did a bit last night.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh!
Even our rivals, Anton Deck.
Yeah, I know we're competing with I'm a Celeb this year, but look,
Joel and John, or whatever they're called, Joel and
Jake and Joel.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Make sure you listen to our Patreon, guys. Great present for Christmas. Great present for Christmas. Mm. Subscribe to our Patreon.
I mean, I just wonder, is that a great present for Christmas?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the best present you can receive on Christmas Day. www.patreon.com/footballbookclub. This wasn't meant to turn into an advert for it, but it has. Join the Football Book Club Club. Give us another fact quickly, James.
Which 1992 Christmas fancy dress party did
Brian Dean?
Correct.
There we go. Brian Dean is the answer.
Finally on the board in this Christmas quiz.
Time for our final present of the day. We've reached the end of Christmas. Tash would be fuming by this point if it was her having to open her present last. My dear friend Jack Bernhardt.
Hello.
Let's play the moment you received your Christmas present from me this year.
Okay, I have received my Christmas present from James from Football Book Club. It's right here. Let's take a look what he's got me. I hope it's something good. Very excited. Oh my god. It is Theo Walcott's TJ and the Penalty. I assume harrowing look at Theo Walcott's inability to take a penalty. I'm guessing it's a kid's book, written by Theo Walcott when he was a child. Clearly, about 12 there. This looks amazing. I can't wait to read it. I can't wait to dedicate the rest of my life to discussing it. I can't wait to talk about it incessantly on the podcast. And I can't wait for you guys to hear it. What a day. What a day. What a day, TJ. What a day.
So, Jack, what is it? Remind us all what you got.
The present I received is Theo Walcott's smash hit kids book, TJ and the Penalty. It is a really, really quite sweet, really quite lovely kids book written ostensibly by Theo Walcott, but really written by his ghostwriter. I was going to say Brian May, but it's not Brian May. It's Paul May. Imagine Paul May. If it was Brian May.
David May?
all the Mays.
Okay.
I'm a bit of a Grinch on this podcast, apparently.
Yeah.
I've become quite a Grinchy guy. This is actually quite a sweet little book, I'll be honest. It's quite cute. It's about a little boy called TJ who plays with his school team. He has great, you know, players like his all of his friends, like what you got, Rob, who's the little stats guy. He doesn't
really
play, but he the little nerd, yeah. And they're, like,
nerd.
They're always like, how many shots have we had, Rob? And Rob's like, I think you've had 7 shots.
Oh, cute.
I wonder who he would be if he was on this podcast.
James, how dare you? Tash, what did you say?
Said, are they like TJ and Gus from Recess? That's what I'm getting.
Yes.
It's a little bit levels of TJ and Gus. I mean, honestly, the TJ looks exactly like Theo Walcott.
He really does. To
the point that I think he should have been called T.O. Jolcott. he's just Theo Walcott. It's very cute. It's very sweet. You've also got Rodrigo, the little boy from Portugal who can't speak English, who whenever the referee does something bad, he goes, referee, you need a glass!
referee, they're in the generator room.
But the main character in this book is actually Jamie, who is, because apparently this is, you know, there are 7 of these books or something weird like that.
Which one's this? The Penalty. Is TJ and the Cup Run? TJ and the Winning Goal? TJ and the Hat Trick?
Yeah. The
TJ and the being overlooked for the 2010 World Cup squad.
TJ and the disappointing end to his Arsenal career.
Yeah. TJ and the underwhelming return to Southampton.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to be mean about Theo Walcott.
This is why I bought you the book. I knew you loved him, and also, you know the real reason why I bought it for you, Jack?
Because I have the reading age of an 8-year-old.
Because you're a child. Because you had a baby this year, and I wanted you to read it to your little baby.
That's true. I actually did last night when she wouldn't sleep. I genuinely, because I was aware that I had to read it for this episode, but also because I thought it'd be cute, I read a bit to her and she started screaming.
in a happy way?
In happiness. Yeah, she was delighted by it.
Cool. So what's referee, where's your glass?
Yeah. What's interesting about this is that the penalty in question is not anything to do with TJ, because I was going to say, you know, Theo Walcott can't really take penalties, or didn't really take many penalties at Arsenal, at least. It's actually, this book is really about TJ's friend, Jamie, who starts off being a defender, but he apparently eats too much. He becomes really unfit because he eats so much, and he turns into a goalkeeper. And at the end, it's Jamie saves a penalty that wins them the cup, effectively. And the message of the book seems to be, also Jamie starts eating more healthily, but he's also a good goalkeeper, but he can only really, because he's so unfit at first, he can only play in goal for them. And he does loads of really good saves, even though he's unfit. And the villain of the piece is the lunch lady who won't stop feeding Jamie shepherd's pies. So basically, Basically, it's the whole book is TJ being like, God, I hope Jamie eats well, and he goes on lots of runs, and you know, we'll make sure that we eat healthily. And then they'll go into the lunchroom, and like Jamie will be stuffing his face with shepherd's pie, and they'll go, "Lunch lady, what are you doing?" And she'll be like, "He needs it. He's big boned."
It sounds amazing.
Wow.
There is a bit very quickly. There is a bit where. Because also, so it's set in a fictional like place. They're called Parkview, and the local team is called Wanderers. We never established where this is, but there is a Premier League team called Wanderers, and there's a guy called Marshall. I think his name, I can't remember his last name, Marshall something. He's a Premier League Mathers? Player. Marshall Mathers, yeah. He's got mum spaghetti on him.
Yeah, of course.
That's why he's so fat. but he comes and watches them play, and he's really impressed by TJ because he thinks he's really good. And at one point, very early on in the book, when Jamie's eating way too much, he points to him and goes, hang on, I've got the exact line here. Marshall shook hands with TJ. "Let's show these guys how it's done," because they're about to do some training, he said, as he waited for Mr. Wood to sort out the other groups. "Hey, looks like your friend Jamie's put on a few pounds, yeah? You need to get him fit." That's a Premier League, fictional Premier League player just pointing at a 8-year-old boy saying, "You're a bit fat, aren't you?
You're a chubby lad. You're a bit of a chubby,
you're a little chubby
boy.
Lad."
Wow.
But that's genuinely... It
sounds like a book Michael Owen would write. I can imagine Michael Owen doing it. But also, he wouldn't make a goalkeeper the hero if Michael Owen...
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Until you said he was the hero, I was like, did Michael Owen chip him with his book?
What's interesting... So I think it's almost like the good version of Michael Owen, if that makes sense. It's very it's very much like... I could definitely imagine this being a tie-in with the Michael Owen show that he did where he came out with the poster. Yeah. You know the one which was kind of disturbing.
Hero to Zero.
Discussed that.
Yeah.
Had a lot with the poster.
With the poster, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like it definitely, this, it has a real like heart to it, and it's quite sweet, even though in places it's very it's probably the most of all of the books that we've talked about here, it's probably the most that's most like a footballer's autobiography, because there are several bits where he'll spend entire chapters on like how he went round a player. And then they'll go, "And we won the quarterfinal 4-0. And you're like, "Oh, okay. Well, I felt like I was back reading Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank at that point."
But sure. Apart from that, okay. That's good that it's good that they transferred that as well.
It felt, in a way, quite realistic.
It sounds like Karen Brady's book sounds pretty autobiographical. It's just her getting off with a fake Paul Pesky Salido throughout, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
And Alan Hansen's got some great insights into his career. Like, I don't know. He had some things in there about the offside rule. But Jack, would you read more of the TJ and the X series?
Do you want the honest answer, or do you want the Christmas ending answer?
Let's have a Christmas miracle at the end. We'll do both. Here's your Christmas miracle. Here's your Christmas miracle answer.
I was going to give up reading, and then I read TJ and the Penalty, and it made me believe in Christmas again.
Yeah.
Hey.
And what's your honest answer?
Fuck no.
Before we end that, I wanted to read that's the only one that had an Amazon review, this book.
Okay.
4.7 out of 5 from 19 reviews, including this one by Matthew Copping titled Football, and it read
it's accurate.
Yep. It read match of the day, do 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 voodoo do do H nickel by her, you Inuit, the first is T. That was the entire review. Probably
no. That's definitely a clue in like a National Treasure style movie.
Yeah,
like they'll go on Theo Walcott's like, "Oh, wait a second, TJ and the Penalty. Yeah, that's right. It was an old book, wasn't it? Go on the Amazon, see what they say about it."
Well, you know, it's more coherent than most of Basel Boy's reviews, I guess. Oh, take that, Basel Boy.
Zing.
That political joke will...
Basel Boy is never ending. Basel Boy is never ending. He's eternal. Guys, it sounds like I'm blowing my own horn here. Sounds like it was a pretty big success this Christmas. Sounds like 3 out of 3.
Yeah.
I nailed it.
Yeah. Done very, very well. Merry Christmas, James.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Thank you. James, you've been noticeably quiet just then. Did I nail what you wanted?
I'll put it to the group as a question, shall I? True or false, it's been a successful Christmas.
Ooh. Ooh.
True.
Alan says, absolutely true.
Yay!
I thought you were going to say it was going to be like, ask the referee. If the referee's had a good time, you've had a good time.
Yeah. Quickly, did your books change you at this special time of the year. We'll kick off with Tash. Did your book change you and a score at the end?
Well, when I started reading it, I was totally bedbound, and now here I am, alive with makeup on. So yes, I give this book full credit for my miraculous recovery.
Is that 10 out of 10?
10 out of 10.
Wow, incredible. This it's is like your a, this is like your ticket to Willy Wonka's chocolate factory. It's the thing that's got
this
you
is
going.
My Horcrux.
I'm going to say that the scores can't count on this one.
No.
No, yeah,
this,
sure.
this is like Strictly, can we just
it
say?
It is. Like, yeah. It's the Strictly Christmas special when they just go, here's a 10.
Yeah, here's a 10, fuck it, have a 10.
You spend the whole thing on the floor being dragged around, but hey!
Have a 10, go on
it's
then.
It's Christmas. James, what are you giving yours out of 10? And did it change you?
Oh, it definitely changed me. Honestly, the laws of the game that I know now, which I didn't know before.
You're unstoppable.
It's, 9 out of 10.
Wow. That's probably the highest thing you've ever given it.
Yeah.
Compare that to Alan Hansen's last stocking filler we had, which got about 1 out of 10 total. And Jack, moment of truth.
I got to give it a 10 as well.
Wow.
Where TJ insults a bunch of reception children for making bread rolls that are really weird shapes. And reception children are what, like four?
Four, yeah, four or five. Yeah.
They're basically like, hey, these guys can't bake. You know what? Fuck you, TJ.
Do you think Walcott went into like the right, whoever's writing this book with him was like, that's my head in.
Yeah.
Maybe people who can't,
get
kids
a four-year-old
bake.
To bake for you. And they're suck. All really weird shapes. They suck at it.
Yeah. I bet his kid was four at the time.
Yeah.
He's getting this shitty bread every day. Anyway, look. I've got one final present for you. A little surprise. It is Christmas after all. I know you're already pretty satisfied with your presents, but I've got one last thing. And do you know what it is?
Is it a Christmas Kenzong?
Is it a Christmas Kenzong?
Yay! You guessed it.
Perfectly. It's the must-have gift this Christmas.
Along with the Patreon subscription. Yeah.
And Patreon, that's actually the most, this is the second must-have. He's Ken is, we mention all the time, he's our friend who writes another chant we like to hear for a footballer every single week. He's got a little message for you. Actually, he's got in two parts this message.
Hey there, Football Book Club. Ken Zong here, wishing you a very Merry Christmas.
That's the first thing. And don't worry, he's got a song. He's got a song with it. To the tune of an E17 Christmas classic.
Hey now. Baby, when we've got to play away. Only one man can save the day. Give the ball to David May. Oh, don't think that you'll ever score while he's manning our back four. There's no besting David May.
Incredible. Ken Zong, round of applause.
I think that's... This is like when Dylan went electric. It feels like we're moving into a new genre.
I agree. That's a new level of production for Ken. Yeah. Incredible.
Sounds like that Imogen Heap song.
Yeah.
And he does exist. James, you told us one of your mates doesn't maybe exist. That's him. That's him singing. I'm not putting that voice on. It's a real person. And now it's truly Christmas. I think you will agree it really feels like Christmas.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Really
now we've
like
heard
Christmas.
James sing, Ken sing that. Perfect.
James, he isn't real. He's just
I mean, not me. That is all for our Christmas party, guys. I'm so sorry. Do you enjoy it? Do you have a great time?
Yes.
Great time.
I loved
great
it.
Great time.
I'm glad. Football Book Club members, we're going to have a little Christmassy treat for you. On Christmas Day, later in the week, you know, as I mentioned earlier, is the must-have gift this Christmas. And to
I'm sorry, I'm just imagining someone being like, good news, I know you wanted a diamond ring, honey, but I got you something even better because a podcast told me to.
It is better. Screw you, chuck your diamond rings in the sea. Get a membership for this. We'll have a little Christmas treat for you on Christmas Day to listen. Please do join the Football Book, ignore Jack and join the Football Book Club. For all our bonus episodes and to get your hands on a Football Book Club bookmark, that's another great Christmas present. Head to patreon.com/footballbookclub to do that. And, you know, that's what this season is all about anyway, making us financially sustainable for the rest of the remainder of the series. Do get in touch with us on Twitter @FootyBookClub, Instagram @FootballBookClub, or on Facebook. Send your thoughts, your author footballer puns, chant ideas, anything. We're going to have a little Serie A esque winter break, but we'll still be bringing you an episode in a fortnight. It's something a little different, and then we'll be back in mid-January with your next classic Football Book Club episode. I mean, by classic, I mean, judge for yourself whether it's classic. I mean, traditional probably is the word.
Time will tell.
Time will tell. Featuring the brilliant Adam Hurry, who's editor and writer at The Athletic and host of the Football Cliches Pod, which is a great podcast.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
That's made me excited for 2022, baby.
Yeah, that's what's going to... I can't wait for 2022. Screw Christmas. Bring on 2022. Bring on my football book club. Any last Christmassy words, guys?
Beating the boys.
Beat the boys this Christmas. Enjoy. Thank you. Bye.
Bye.